Thanks for clicking on our podcast. This is John Fraser, and with my partner in wine down in the Cape, Michael Olifier, each week we taste the very best that the Cape has to offer in wines or spirits, whatever tickles our fancy, and hopefully it'll tickle yours as well. And welcome back. This is yet another occasion where I sit back, slurp and maybe spit, but probably not. Enjoy a nice glass of wine with tremendous company in our Joburg studio, and have the delight of some of the best wine advice and analysis you can find in South Africa, and it's all free to you, the listener. Before I introduce the wine, once again introducing our food and wine guru. Eat Out described him, they didn't describe him, they described him as wonderful and gave him the Lifetime Achievement Award for all he's done for food and wine. So it shows, if you stuff yourself day after day after day, you too can win a prize. Just like Michael Olifier. Michael, great to chat to you.
John, thank you.
And I suppose in a nice way, I'm so glad you got stuffed, because that really was something last year that brought a smile to my face, and I know it must have made you and the family very proud indeed. We are delighted to trespass on your good nature and your good advice. But before we go into the tasting, just to let you, Michael, know and our listeners know, with me in the Joburg studio for the second week in a row, we managed to kidnap them again. We have Colleen Morris. She is the owner-manager of Wine Concepts, the bottle store. Bottle store for posh people, but they will also sell stuff to plebs like me. And that's in the Blueberg Centre, which you can find just off Corlett Drive, just down the hill from Wanderers. Colleen, great to chat to you again. Thanks so much for coming in again.
Thank you for having me back.
You did so well last time. We thought we'd reward you with another ordeal. And sitting next to Colleen, looking, as always, dapper, elegant, and only slightly late, we welcome our second lady guest, Benedicta Dube, journalist and broadcaster. Benedicta, good to see you again.
John, thanks for inviting me again.
Well, thanks for coming. And Michael, the bottle before me is looks a bit elegant, looks maybe a little bit pricey. I don't know if this is a boutique winery. It's certainly one that I didn't know very well before. But obviously I know the Constantia region, because you used to run an excellent restaurant in that part of the world, and when you ran Parks down there. It's a Constantia Glen. It's a 2013, quite young, from last year. And it's a Sauvignon Blanc, and that's all I can say about the wine. What can you say about it?
Well, as I was saying just now, Constantia Glen is on the way up to Constantia Neck, where there is the saddle through which you drop down into Hout Bay. So it's on the Constantia side, and because of the saddle being there, it does have a little bit more sunshine than the Klein Constantias, Groot Constantias, and Blankenverwachtings. So it still has a sort of a cool end of summer ripening period, but it does just have that little bit more sunshine. So you land up with a really delicious wine like this. I mean, it's beautifully packaged. It's got the Constantia molding on the top of the bottle. It's bright and clear, sort of gem-like, light straw in color. And if you swirl it around and hold it up to the light, you get some sort of nice lime green flash thing going on there. On the nose, it's got that classical sort of pink grapefruit, sweet guava, cake gooseberry, and then there's a bit of sort of white stone fruit, like white peaches and nectarines going on there as well, and a little sort of floral elderflower stuff going on there. It has a little bit of Semillon blended into it, which just fills out the palate a little bit. It's got an amazing mouthfeel, nice, creamy, rich, and it's got that sort of more sort of windfall orange kind of citrus rather than the lime zip stuff, and the yellow peaches, and this a lovely minerality there too, beautifully, beautifully balanced, lovely, long, elegant aftertaste. It's one of my favorites.
Well, Michael, when I heard you originally talking about saddles, I thought you were going to come up with lots of nice horsey analogies, but maybe those are more appropriate to a red rather than a white. For me, this is beautifully elegant, and elegant is the right word. This is a classy wine. And I don't know much about Constantia Glen. Are they one of the smaller suppliers, one of the boutique suppliers?
Yeah, they are quite small. They're relatively new. Lovely tasting room with beautiful views over the valley. I can't remember exactly how long they've been going, but I would think probably sort of about 10 years-ish or so. If I grab my platter guide, I can give you a better idea. But it's well worth a visit if you're going to be in Cape Town. It's just such a lovely place and really, really great wine and lovely, lovely rosé as well. 2000 they were established, and they bottled in 2005 for the first time.
Okay, less than a decade. Anyway, we've been going for more than 5 minutes, and we haven't let the ladies get a word in, which is quite an achievement, really. Benedicta Dube, are you enjoying this?
I'm loving it, John. It does not have the typical dryness of a Sauvignon Blanc. I'm not feeling that typical sharp dryness. It's an elegant and slightly fruity wine. My curiosity is price, because I can see that that bottle is not cheap.
Oh, only the best for you, Benedicta. Michael, price range, do you have any idea?
I would think this is probably sort of somewhere around about 80-ish. I'm absolutely not sure of the...
Well, why am I asking you? We've got someone who runs a bottle store sitting next to me. Colleen, before we ask for your views on the wine, any idea of the sort of price range for this?
I think Michael is spot on. Unfortunately, I don't know the price beforehand, but I think you're spot on. It's probably somewhere between 80 and 90 rand a bottle.
Okay, well, is it worth drinking?
Absolutely. Constantia Glen, like Mike has said, it gets a lot of sun where it is, being a little bit higher. But and you spoke about the saddle, and interesting enough, the vineyards does sit in sort of a horseshoe. So there is a little bit of a saucy story there if you wanted one. And I think there's only one winery who's got vineyards higher up, and that must be Beau Constantia, right, Michael?
Yeah.
So they're really sitting very high up there. So even though they get a lot of sun, they also get really nice cool air up there, and they're overlooking the ocean essentially. So they get all that lovely cold breezes, which is really what makes the Sauvignon Blanc probably as delicious as it is. And yeah. I agree with Benedicta, you know, it doesn't have the sharp acidity. It's got a rather minerally finish, which is really lovely. Super dry, but not plucking you here in your throat that you can't swallow. And that's really lovely.
Okay, Michael, well, that suggests to me that this is a wine that you could quite easily sip glass after glass after glass of, with maybe only just a few olives or some peanuts on the table as you're enjoying the view of the Cape Mountains, and I hate you for that. But if you were to encounter this in a restaurant or to buy a bottle and be cooking something at home, where might you, what might you serve with it?
I would go a couple of ways. I mean, in summer, a wine like this, if you make a really nice smoked snook pate and put some creme fraiche into it so that you keep it nice and soft on some nice crispy Melba toast or something like that, perfect match. And again, you know, a piece of hake in a pan with some butter and parsley and lemon would be absolutely brilliant. But any sort of seafood, calamari, that kind of thing, it would even do quite well with a soup, a simply flavored soup like a butternut or maybe a leek and potato or something like that.
And as you know, Michael, I like exploding myths, and obviously there's the myth that you always have to have red wine with meat and white wine with fish. I think a few mild cheeses actually might go quite nicely.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think it would go well. You know, I'm just trying to think of you know, kind of sort of a nice crispy bruschetta with some goat cheese, and then maybe a sort of a fig and olive tapenade on top would be delicious.
Well, Colleen's been nodding away. Well, let her open her mouth now. anything you might advise with this?
That's all very mouth-watering ideas Michael is coming up with. I really like that Grenadilla note that comes out, Michael. So, yeah. You know, it sort of reminds me of Grenadilla sorbet. You know, I don't know how you would bring that into a dish. Maybe like a summer salad with a bit of pink grapefruit and a bit of grenadilla sort of somehow added to the salad.
Yes.
That to me
yes.
sounds
yes.
like...
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah, that's for me. But, I mean, you could just drink this quite happily on its own.
Yeah.
Benedetta, you've been nodding away.
Well, I'm loving it. I think it would be great with seafood. I mean, I'm a lover of salmon, and I think it would go great with a good dish of salmon and cheese. Yeah?
Michael, we were chatting before we started this recording about the way in which one finds a lot of imported salmon on sale in South Africa.
Yeah.
I've always found that if you can find the right supplier, a salmon trout, I know it's normally a farmed fish here, but that,
yes.
that can make a very good substitute, can't it?
Absolutely. Look, salmon trout is actually a misnomer because it's actually a trout. And what they do is they feed it on krill-based pellets to get that sort of pink color. I think, you know, if you find a large trout, just lightly smoked and just sort of done in a pan with some lemon and some butter, just could be just wonderful. I mean, it's funny enough, Maddie and I actually had trout last night. It was quite a big fish, and it was just perfect. But you know, we were talking also about indigenous fish. We don't have a tremendous amount of indigenous fish that are either of any size or that are not sort of full of bones. And you know, I think that we in the interior, we don't have a tradition of fish eating. It's really just around the coast. And if you want fresh fish and you're in a coastal area, just go to where the fishing boats are coming in and you'll get wonderful stuff.
Colleen, just a slight variation on what I was asking Michael and asking you. You sell a lot of wine. Do you occasionally get people coming in saying, oh, I'm having salmon for supper, what would go well? Or are people that precious? Do they just say, I'd like a bottle of white wine or a bottle of red wine, or give me a bucket and I'll drink it on the way home?
Yeah, I guess we get equal amounts of both, but that is what sets us hopefully apart from a lot of other bottle stores, if you want to call it that, where, you know, you can come and tell us what's your menu for tonight, and we will make sure that you have wine that suits the menu and the temperature outside. You know, so that's what we do, and that's what we love doing. That's the part of our job that's so delicious. You know, we don't just stand there and hit the till. We actually enjoy the menus with our customers.
And Benedetta, how forward are you? I know you're not a shy and reserved person, but there are people who might feel a little bit daunted by going into a wine shop and asking for advice. They might just sort of sneak in, take a bottle and hopefully pay for it and then sneak out.
My local bottle store owner knows me by name, and even if I send somebody else to go buy for me, he knows exactly what I like. So, you know, I go to him and I say, hey, you know, I'm having a dinner party, I'm cooking this, what can we have? And he's always available for advice. I'm not shy. I just go and tell him what I want. So, you know, it's always great to have a good relationship. I call him a glorified Shebeen Queen. but you know, he's always there for good advice.
And of course, Michael, in your days of running Parks Restaurant down in the Cape, presumably you were often called upon. And I know you put a lot of time and effort into putting together a wine list, and I remember it was stunningly good value. And I never drank that third bottle because I was having to get into the car. But presumably there will be people who will just know something about the wines and order. And there'll be others, possibly visitors to South Africa who don't know our producers that well, who will always want that bit of extra advice. And quite often I get the feeling that there are restaurants which really aren't that equipped to offer it.
Yeah, that is true. I think things are changing. I think, you know, when we were running our restaurant 15 years ago, I think people are a lot more knowledgeable about wine now. But guests, particularly in a high-end restaurant like we were, a lot of our guests, particularly in the summer, were overseas people, and you know, they would want to know about the wine. Unfortunately, as you know, I was always there, so it wasn't ever too much of a problem.
Yeah, is it 15 years ago? I really must settle my bill one of these days.
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything.
Have a quick question for Michael.
Yeah.
Michael, I want to go back to the price of Constantia Glen. I have this big debate with an Italian friend of mine, and he always says the most expensive bottles in South Africa, in terms of South African wines,
yeah,
are the ones with the highest alcohol content. I've never proven it, but I'd like your opinion on that.
It's quite a wrong theory, that. But the Constantia Glen, I've just checked where we've been talking, it's 110 rand a bottle from the estate.
Oh.
But the alcohol content has very little to do with the price.
They're
whites usually from anything from 12 to 14, reds anything from 13 to 15, so there's not a huge difference from an alcohol point of view, and they're not adding alcohol, it's coming from the grapes.
Yeah.
Okay, well Michael, unfortunately we are sadly out of time, so from your podcast host with a very high alcohol content, I really must thank you once again for your wisdom and advice and a fun chat. And that's what I like about our Divine Intervention podcast. We taste the wine and then we talk about a few wine related subjects. It's not too nerdy, it's not too wine snobby. Hopefully it's an education and an entertainment. So once again, we'll be back next week, but for now, many thanks, Michael Olivier.
Pleasure, John.
And many thanks to our two studio guests in Joburg, Colleen Morris from Wine Concepts at the Blueberg Center. I'm sure if you go in there and say I sent you, she'll offer you at least a 1% discount. Colleen, lovely to chat to you.
Thank you very much, and we'd love to welcome everybody.
And of course, once again, to Benedicta Dube, journalist, broadcaster, and lady who has an uncannily close relationship to her bottle store owner. I'm John Fraser. This has been Divine Intervention.